the godliness of good people rescue them. The godliness. The more like God we are, that will rescue them. The ambition of treacherous people traps them. So if you're a treacherous person, and let me tell you, you can be a Christian and be a treacherous person. You can be a treacherous person. But that treachery will trap you. So you got to get rid of all that stuff. You got to cleanse and purify yourself and walk holy before God. Verse 7 and 8. When the wicked die, their hopes all perish. Because when the wicked die, where do they go? They go into the center of the earth where there is a flame of fire. We could remember the parable that Jesus gave us in Luke 16 about the rich man that had all this wealth, and one day he had all these crops and he took everything in, and one day he said, "Boy, look what I have done. I got all this. What am I going to do with all this? Oh, I know what I will do. I'll tear down my old barns. I'll build new barns. And I'll fill all these new barns full of all this grain and stuff. And I'll just sit back and for years and I'll just take life easy." Jesus called him a what?
Fool.
You fool. Tonight, your soul is going to be required of you. How much of that was he going to take with him?
Nothing.
So his soul was required of him. He found himself in this place of flaming torment. And at that time, some people never study the word enough to get a hold of this, but before Jesus come, in the center of the earth, both was the place of paradise and the place of torment. And there was a great gulf that separated the two. One side over there was air-conditioned comfort. That's hard for me to believe that even God could build an air conditioner big enough to air condition that lake of fire down there. But he can. He had that lake of fire air conditioned. There was a great big compartment over there with a big, beautiful stream or whatever, a big gulf in front of it. And it was beautiful. And that's where Abraham and all the people believed in the coming of Jesus. All the good people, that's where they were. But this guy, which didn't believe, he was made his money and thought he was doing it, and then he died, and he opened his eyes, and he looked across, and he could see them over there. He said, "Lord, I know I can't go across there, but there's Lazarus over there with Abraham. Let Lazarus, that old poor beggar, let him go out there and dip his finger in that cool water and come and put it on my tongue." He said, "I'm in agony in this flame." He said, "No, you can't do that. Can't do it. That big gulf separates the two. He can't come over here and you can't go over there." He said, "Lord, if I at least let him go back and tell my five brothers. I got five brothers that just like me. They come into this same place. At least let him go back and tell them. Then they will believe if one returns from the dead." Jesus said, "There's going to be one that's going to return from the dead very soon. And it's going to be me, of course, Jesus." And he said, "There's still going to be some people who won't even believe." Isn't that amazing? The best documented event that ever took place in history is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. There's been some of the best educated men in the world set out to prove that this is a hoax. And every one of them that set out to prove it, when they got the evidence together, guess what happened to every one of them? They become a believer. The evidence demands a verdict. Jesus Christ was who he said he was, and he is God. That's what every one of them have made that decision. And of course, Josh McDowell, which is a lawyer, which did go to law school, I think he went to Harvard. When he was going there, he went to get his degree and become a great lawyer. And of course, he'd been raised in a Christian home, but now then, he just, forget this Jesus stuff, on to bigger and better things. So he got to Harvard and started the school, and somebody said, "Hey, we're having a Bible study. Come." He said, No, I don't need that junk. I was raised up in church. I don't believe in that stuff no more. I'm on to bigger and better things." They said, "You're going to be a lawyer. We're going to be lawyers. Let's meet in 1 year, and you get your evidence together, and you prove that Jesus is not who he says he is, and we'll prove that he is."
All right.
Oh, he said, that'd be a good experience. I'll do it. Well, he wrote his first book called Evidence That Demands a Verdict. And at the end of that year, Josh McDowell became a really sincere, converted, born-again, believing son of God. And now then, over the years of all these years, he's written another book called Number 2, Evidence That Demands a Verdict. Now, both of these books are about this thick. If you really want to do some study, he done his work. He went in and studied, and the Evidence That Demands a Verdict by Josh McDowell. In fact, Josh has gone, he's dedicated his life to going across this country to universities and colleges and teaching young people that Jesus is really who he says he is. Amen. Josh McDowell has produced great fruit for the kingdom of God. But just think, here he was, a fine young man from a wealthy home, was going to become a great lawyer, and he didn't care about Jesus. But Jesus wasn't through with the young man. He wasn't through with him. And so he put him in a place where he'd have to prove that he's either not real or he is real. And as a young lawyer, when he got the evidence together, hey, this evidence demands a verdict. And the verdict is, he's God.
All by himself.
Yeah. And so, like I say, over the years, of course, Josh is getting on up there. I think he's even a little older than I am, I think. And Josh is a very good, godly lawyer, and he's really written some great books about Jesus. So if you've never, how many of you in here know or have heard of Josh McDowell? Okay, several of you have. Yeah, he's a great man of God. He's done some great things for the kingdom. But it just goes to show you that when you get in there and see what is really written, hey, this evidence, it's much, much greater, knowledgeable, more well-trained men than I even think about ever being, have researched this stuff, and they've all come up with one verdict. He's God. He is who he says he is. But you know, you don't have to convince me. I've seen the King do so many wonderful healings and miracles. I know he's real too, don't we, Dave? Anytime a young man's been born with an incurable disease and he got healed, hey, and we did it through prayer, that had to be Jesus, didn't it, Dave? Ain't no two ways about it. Jesus is who he says he is. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So any of us that have seen God do these wonderful miracles and answers to prayer, I mean, just like I was telling y'all Saturday, I think it was at the healing school, even Phil and Krista, they're really just getting into their real walk with God. And when they prayed over their baby the other day with the runny eye and everything, and boy, they fought a battle for one day. You know, Krista, she's learning, you know, she'd look at that little baby in that eye weeping with that pink eye, and she'd think, that thought would come to her, better take it to the doctor. And she'd think about that a minute, she'd run over and open the Bible and open it up and say, but God, it is written. I'm standing on your word. And they stood that day, and the next morning when they woke up, their little baby didn't have a sign of pink eye whatsoever. The Lord had completely healed that little lady. So they're learning how to walk in faith too. Praise God. You know, that's what it is. When the wicked die, their hopes all perish, for they rely on their own feeble strength. If we don't rely on Jesus, what do we have? Nothing. Without Jesus, you have nothing. So when you rely on your own feeble strength, that's exactly what they are. Feeble. Nothing. It's like taking and putting 4 or 5 little straws up here and thinking, wow, I really built something. And I say, I wonder if that'll hold me up. And I step on it. It's gone. I mean, you know, feeble. You know, it's feeble. It's nothing. There's only one thing that can hold you up, and it's the blood of Jesus. Now then, he says, God rescues the godly from danger. So if you're the godly and the devil comes against you, or he's going to try to hurt you, if you're walking in obedience to God's word, what's God promised to do? To rescue you from that. So it's not going to hurt you. He's going to watch over you and protect you. God rescues the godly from danger. But look at that next line. But he lets the wicked fall into trouble. I mean, here's a godly man walking here. I thought about this in Vietnam. Here's a group of men walking through the jungle. Here's a man that loves God, walking in obedience to His Word, and he never steps into one of those holes and runs those bamboo shoes through his foot and through his shoe. But the man walking right beside you, he doesn't believe in God, or he's laughing about God, making fun of it, and he's walking right beside you, and you're walking through there, and all of a sudden he steps in something and falls through, and he starts screaming. And you look down, and there's those bamboo shoots come right through the sole of his shoe, right through his foot, and they're sticking out that far on the top side of his shoe. There ain't but one way to get his foot off of that. Don't that sound like fun, John? Don't you wish you had went to Vietnam? It was a lot of fun. Wow. God rescues the godly from danger. You better be glad you were godly. If you're godly, who's going to protect you or rescue you? I can't think of nobody I'd rather have on my side. Can you? Especially if you're over there or if you're over there. Now, if you're in the Middle East, I would want to be a godly man. If I was a woman over there, I'd want to be a godly woman. I wouldn't want to be one living in sin over there, because if you're one living in sin and you're wicked, what does he say lets you happen to you? Let you fall into trouble. Somebody said, God wouldn't do that to me. He said he will. Does it pay good dividends to do what God says? I think it pays good dividends. You want to walk free of sickness and disease? What do you got to do?
Obey God.
Obey God. Walk godly. Put Him first in everything. Now then, if there's anything... Did you know there's not hardly a Christian I know today in church that hadn't missed some of these things we talked about tonight? You can't even hardly go through one chapter of the book of Proverbs and not see yourself in there somewhere.
Amen.
It's like John said when I asked that, he said, I sin today. He realized from this he messed up today somewhere. So he needs to repent of that and say, God, tomorrow help me, and I won't do it tomorrow.
We're going to have to stop right there for today, but we'll start again tomorrow with a teaching. And if you'd like to have these teachings in their entirety, if you would just give us a call, we'll be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. That's at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106, and we'll send them to you free and postpaid. Or you can go to our website. You can listen to these teachings again from the website, or you can get them free and postpaid from www.tlsm.org. www.tlsm.org. That's the Living Savior Ministries. There you can listen to these again, or you can order them free and postpaid, and many other teachings free and postpaid from our website. Praise the Lord Jesus.